You are Locked On Angels, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Angels, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, your 2018 Angels. Welcome to Locked On Angels.
Keep it locked.
Locked on.
We're locked on, sir.
Locked On Angels.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome to Locked On Angels. I am your host, Patrick Zajac, minor league play-by-play man and first row rider of the emotional sports roller coaster that is Angels baseball. Welcome in yet again to your daily Angels update here, part of FanRag Sports. LockedOnSports.com and LockedOnAngels.com is the show page. I gotta tell you, that was a very pleasing ball game to watch. That was right up my alley. Yet a wonderfully pitched ball game from Andrew Heaney, who has been arguably the most consistent Angel starter as of late. He's the focus for today's episode in segment number one. You get the first and third small ball play to scratch out a run in the middle innings there, and that ends up being the difference in a 1-0 victory. Going to talk about that as well. In addition to Andrew Heaney, like I mentioned, it's Wednesday, so that means Wild West Wednesday. We'll take a look around the American League West, where the Mariners continue to stay hot as the Angels still 5 games back of the division lead, though still gaining some ground in the wild card effort as the Houston Astros slip up against Seattle. So that's in segment number two. And to follow up today's episode, quick chat about the Angels' day two draft picks. Decidedly different direction than day number one, where we saw a bunch of high upside, high risk high school position players. Day two, a lot of the quote unquote safe collegiate pitchers. We'll chat about them, point out some names and notes, noteworthy news about each of those guys to keep you guys up to date. Because as I say in every episode, this is your daily update in the Angels sphere, so to speak. So staying true to word. But first, let's get to Andrew Heaney, because, man, was he absolutely sensational. A complete game one-hitter. And I remember saying after his, 8 shutout innings against the Houston Astros that was the best Andrew Heaney I've ever seen. No, he one-upped himself in this one. That was the best Andrew Heaney I saw. Stayed low in the zone with his off-speed pitches. I don't know how many different guys I've said this to in our in the Angels starting rotation outside of Shohei Ohtani, but when Andrew Heaney's on, it is a very satisfying outing to watch, man. The way he commands the strike zone, when he's on, he can command that inside part of the zone, especially to right-handed hitters, and break off his off-speed pitches to the back right foot of right-handed hitters, and then that fastball just gets in on the hands to lefties. They're not able to get around on that baseball because of that switch. Andrew Heaney, with that long, lanky sort of three-quarters arm, almost a sidewind type delivery, and pitching on the first base side, he can get inside those hands, like I mentioned, in on the hip of those left-handed hitters. Keeps guys off balance with the off-speed stuff. Again, not going to blow it by you, although there were a couple fastballs late in this one where Andrew Heaney was touching 95 miles an hour, and that's the type of velocity that we really haven't seen from Andrew Heaney so far this season. He still pitched well up until this point. So, man, if this is the type of Andrew Heaney we're going to get moving forward, this rotation, this Halo rotation, I tell you what, guys, you know, yeah, Nick Tropiano had a tough start his last time out, but think about this last rotation through the entire starting group of guys over the past couple of games. You had the one-hit complete game shutout here. Tropiano struggled in his last start, although the Angels do pick up the win. And then over the weekend, you get 3 shutout efforts from the rotation in their innings pitch from Garrett Richards, Tyler Skaggs, and Jaime Barria. This starting rotation is the strength of the team right now, and I don't think that's far-fetched at all to say. I know we were all expecting the offense to be leading the way to this point, and they did early on in the season, but the last month and a half, it's the starting rotation, and notably Andrew Heaney, now that ERA down to 3.12 on the season. And if you guys recall last week, I went through, it was early in the week, first episode of the week, I believe, after the short Memorial Day holiday, talking about how Garrett Richards, I didn't think he was the ace of a staff. And I went through his 11 starts, and I believe, what was it, two of them? And this was before his most recent seven shutout innings. Three out of the 11 were deemed quality, where he goes at least six innings and gives up three or less runs. Let's go through and do the same exercise with Andrew Heaney. So let's see. Now he's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 starts on the year because he started on the disabled list. Started off a little shaky in his first two starts, but after that, five innings, one earned run given up. That was his third start of the year. Going on to start number four, six innings, one earned run. Next one, six innings, two earned runs. Then that start against Houston, eight innings, just one earned run given up. Then six innings, no earned runs given up. 6.1 and one earned run given up against the Yankees. He got roughed up against the Tigers in the very first inning, but still gutted out five innings and five earned runs. So if you're looking back at things, one, two, three, four, five, six of the or seven of the last eight starts for Andrew Heaney have not only been quality, they have been sensational. Seven of those eight, he has given up two earned runs or less and worked at least six innings in six of those seven. The other one was that five-inning effort all the way back in late April against the Yankees. So Andrew Heaney is slowly becoming arguably the most reliable arm in this rotation. And could you imagine? I know a lot of us were worried about, can this rotation be good enough to vault the Angels into not only playoff contention, but into a spot and maybe in a conversation where they can win a few games in the playoffs, maybe win a division series, maybe get to the league championships here. I don't want to get too ahead of myself here after a brilliant start from Andrew Heaney, but I tell you what, guys, they're pretty much outside of Nick Tropiano, and maybe it's a small sample size still with Jaime Barria, but more times than not, I'm feeling pretty confident with whoever is on the mound, especially the way Andrew Heaney has looked ever since moving to the first base side of the pitching rubber. He has been absolutely lights out, bar none. Coming up next in our second segment, you know that's Wild West Wednesday, taking a look around the American League West and how the Angels shape up. But first, you guys want to sponsor the show, know someone that does, hit me up, LockedOnAngels@gmail.com. Rates always reasonable. Let's start that conversation, especially as the Angels are heating up. Hit me up on that email line. Team's now won four of their last five, hopefully going for a sweep, or getting the sweep, I should say, against the Royals. LockedOnAngels@gmail.com is the email that you want to send those to. All right, let's get right down to it. Wednesday, Wild West Wednesday coming at you.
Let's take a trip around the West.
We take our trip around the West, landing in the American League West. Angels now sitting at 34-28. For a lot of moaning and groaning among the Halo fandom ranks over their recent swoon. They're starting to pick it up, as I said, winning four of their last five. Still, however, five games back of the division lead. That is because the Seattle Mariners, yeah, those Mariners, with Robinson Cano out due to suspension, D. Gordon spending time on the disabled list, Mitch Haniger and Nelson Cruz have been banged up. They are now at 38-22 through 60 games. The Angels now 62 games in. That means after today, I can no longer say there are still 100 games left in the season because after one more game played, we'll be past that barrier. So it's not crunch time. Crunch time is not the right word, but it's certainly now to the point where contenders and pretenders are starting to assert themselves, and maybe we don't get fully to that point. Everyone looks at the All-Star break like, all right, that's the turning point. We take 3 days off from the regular season, or maybe 4 days off. I can't remember if there's an extra day there. I think there is. But in any case, that the All-Star break, right, that's all baseball fans know. All right, after the All-Star break, that's when, if you're going to make a playoff push, it's time to start now, because if not then when, right? So the All-Star break, kind of we take a look at the division leaders, who can possibly contend, who's going to be selling off at the deadline, which means who's going to be available and what teams are going to be making moves. We're not quite, we're still about a little over a month away from that point, or from the All-Star break in mid-July, but this AL West race, and specifically the race for the wild card spots, it is going to be hot and heavy in the American League West because, again, you have Seattle at a remarkable 38-22. The Astros losing the first game of that series to Seattle at 37-25, now 3 games ahead of the Angels in the second wild card spot. Oh, and let's not forget the Oakland A's, even though they lose the ballgame to Texas, still at 31-30. Those are pretty much outside of the Yankees, Red Sox, and Indians. Your only teams above 500, 4 of the 5 teams in the American League West above 500. So down the stretch, you know, August, September, Major League Baseball, they backload those schedules, especially in September. You are just playing your divisional opponents then. So it is going to be a tough road for the Angels. They are going to have to earn their spot in the playoffs. And I'm confident that they can do so, playing different matchups with these teams. They've played well against the American League West, in my opinion, thus far. We'll see how that continues. But, man, it's going to be a wild ride to the end. Do we all think, speaking of the Mariners, do we think they can sustain things? I'm curious. I've kind of flip-flopped back and forth on it because they're playing phenomenal baseball now. I liked some of the moves that Jerry DePoto made in the offseason, though you guys know I was very bullish on their outlook for this season. I thought they were going to finish, I don't want to say a distant fourth, but I thought that that was probably the biggest possibility for them this season behind the Astros, Angels, and even the A's. And they're surpassing those expectations. They're far from the team that I saw a month ago over Cinco de Mayo weekend in Seattle when the Angels were up there and took 2 out of 3. Halos haven't played them since. They do get a meeting here very shortly yet again, so we'll see how the Angels stack up. But right now, Seattle Mariners, man, they're playing some inspired baseball up there with the Yankees and Red Sox in terms of overall record. In fact, just 3.5 games behind the Red Sox for the best record in baseball. So right now, this Mariners team is a force to be reckoned with. I still have my doubts that they can hold on to it the rest of the season. Still think the Astros are the class of the division, but kudos to the Mariners. Props to the Mariners, man. They're getting the job done and winning ball games. That's the name of the game after all. All right, last segment of the show here today. Going to be talking about the most recent draft picks that the Halos picked up on day number 2 of the Major League Baseball draft. So, you guys recall we talked about it briefly in yesterday's episode. Jordan Adams, the 17th overall pick for the Halos out of Green Hope High School in North Carolina. High, toolsy guy, athletic type outfielder as of right now. It's come out already, actually, that he has already agreed to terms with the Angels, yet to sign. They're still coordinating a schedule for him to officially sign, but that is promising considering this dude was holding a dual sport offer from the University of North Carolina, where his dad is the defensive line coach for the football team. So there was a lot of speculation over whether or not the Angels could sign him. Of course, scouting director Matt Swanson comes out that they don't think it's going to be a problem. And it turns out less than 24 hours later, it's not a problem as they've already agreed to terms. So that's awesome to see. Looking forward to seeing Jordan Adams in his first stint in the Halos minor league system. And then Jeremiah Jackson, the other high school position player picked, shortstop, but expected possibly to move to second and third, depending on how he develops. Very similar guys in terms of high upside, high potential, but also high risk that comes with taking a kid so young, fresh out of high school. There is still such a long road of development to the major leagues. College guys, specifically college pitchers, are seen as the safe option, right? That's the general consensus among scouting directors, scouts across the league, across analysts, that sort of thing, right? Collegiate arms are your safest bet, so to speak, because that is the highest level that you can theoretically play in before playing in the minor leagues. And that's the route the Angels went on day 2. In fact, they go pretty much all but one guy, 7 of the 8, collegiate right-handed pitcher, or not all right-handed pitchers. Actually, no, they are all right-handed pitchers. I was looking at a lefty hitter in Ben Morrison, the 10th rounder. But just going through the names here, the third rounder, Aaron Hernandez, not that Aaron Hernandez, out of Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, four-year starter there, even though he was academically ineligible one season, bounces back. This is a kid that has generated a ton of buzz as he's touching 98 miles an hour at times with his fastball. It's tough to see if he'll project to be in a starter or not. Obviously, he'll start as a starter in the minor leagues and see if his stuff can hold up. Also has a tumbling changeup, low 80s curveball with some good depths, and a mid-80s slider that's probably the most reliable outside of his fastball. But, of course, the bread and butter when you throw 98 has got to be your fastball. We'll see how he develops moving forward. Not an overly big kid either, listed at 6'1", 170. The other guy, 6'4", 190, that's Kyle Bradish or Kyle Bradish. Not quite sure how to pronounce it, but out of New Mexico State, was a first-team All-Western Athletic Conference performer. Potential for a four-pitch mix there. Big 12-6 curveball. That seems to be sort of his biggest out pitch as his fastball sits 92, 94, can touch 96 at times, but that 94-mile-an-hour range is where he'll sit. Angels take him in the fourth round, so tough to know, again, whether they see him as a starter or a reliever. I expect, similar to Hernandez, that Bradish gets a shot early on as a starter, as most of pitchers that get drafted, especially in those sort of mid 3, 4, 5, 6 rounders type get. Expect both of these guys and pretty much all of these collegiate arms, due to the innings that they've thrown already this collegiate season, that they'll be on very strict pitch limits this season in 2018 in the minor league ranks. They'll be on very strict innings limits and how often they pitch as well. Don't expect any of these guys. I wouldn't expect these guys going more than 2 or 3 innings at a time. I've seen it time and time again in short season ball in a first go round for a collegiate pitcher. You just don't want to put too much strain on these arms right from the get-go. And another intriguing prospect, the one high schooler that the Angels take on day two, William English, potential for a little dual role for him, both a pitcher and a position player. I imagine the Angels see him more as a pitcher. That's what he's listed on MLB.com, but at the same time, we don't quite yet know. We get to find out soon enough. Maybe they give him the shot to go both ways, so definitely keeping an eye on William English and how he starts his minor league career. So those are some names to keep in mind. I do plan on, like I said in yesterday's episode, bringing by one of the prospect analysts that we've had already on this show to help me break it down, because I'm not as in-depth as those guys certainly on all of the Angels draft picks. So once the draft is over, hopefully can bring those guys on. I know we've had Brent McGuire on in the past and Taylor Ward, pick their brains a little bit and see what they think, what stands out to them, where they'd like to see improvement, and who catches their eye from the Angels 2018 draft class. So that's coming up for you in the week. Also, tomorrow's episode, talking about the Angel defense a little bit more, as well as they've gotten pretty shifty defensively. And I think it's worked out for the most part, especially with some elite defenders that this Halo squad has. But as for today's episode, that's going to do it, guys. You guys want to follow the show on Twitter? I encourage you to do so. You can do that at Locked On Angels. Almost at 300 followers. Help us get there. Tell your friends. Share it on social media. Love, love, love having more and more Halo fans become a part of this as the season trucks along. 100 games to go. So be sure to subscribe, rate, and review us on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, and Google Play. And subscribe to the newsletter on FanRag Sports. You can find it right when you open up our show website, LockedOnAngels.com. You guys are awesome. Stay beautiful out there. Peace.